Hey everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Dima Adeboye and I'm here with my special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, I'm Rebecca Watson. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, nice to have you. And tell me about what you do currently.
I currently run retreats, weekend retreats, okay. In North London. I've been running various different retreats for about 10 years.
Okay.
But this one is really a sort of way of giving back. It's to have an affordable weekend out of your life for people that may not necessarily get to work with me.
Okay.
So I run a company, I'm a corporate coach.
All right.
I'm mostly working with CEOs, directors, and the organisation pays.
Mm.
So there's only a certain number of people that get to have this work.
Okay.
And our idea was to collaborate with a friend of mine, Earl.
Yep.
Who does the same sort of work as me,
mm.
To bring something that's affordable to many more people that can have sort of a weekend out of their lives just to focus on themselves, maybe looking at what they want going forward, maybe why they've created what they've created if that's not what they want, and maybe also to look at their own health and well-being.
Okay.
Might even be mental health because, you know, more and more there's stress in the workplace, there's problems that people are having.
Mm.
So it's a sort of safe space, really, for people to come together and meet each other and do that work.
No, it's really cool because I think in today's world, you know, we're a bit more aware of what's happening. You know, the amount of hours we're spending at work and, you know, the toll that it has on our sort of bodies and our minds and our souls and stuff like that. And you as a coach, you help people in terms of how to bring the best version of themselves. Before we talk about the retreat, how has that helped you in terms of understanding the nature of a human person?
Yeah, that's a really great question, actually, Stephen. I mean, I go into organisations to work with leaders to help them create really great cultures.
Right.
As well as help them, and that starts with themselves, of course. So often my clients are stressed, you know, it's a stressful environment that we're working in. So I've got a really deep understanding of people that are high achievers that want to have a fulfilling life.
Right.
So I don't really work on the scale of the mental health scale with people in hospitals, for example. I'm working with people that are mentally very healthy, but they still want to have a balanced life, a healthy body, good relationships, and, you know, have a career that they enjoy.
So yeah, of course,
there's a lot that we want, right?
Yeah, and I think you always come in with the right intentions. You know, where you go, okay, I'm taking this toll on me because I have to, it's a burden. I mean, you might be aware of it, but it's not your main purpose. You kind of want to just go, all right, I want to do well in my career. I want to manage my life. I want to manage my finances. I want to manage my relationships.
Yeah.
And you're doing it on your own. You're going to this adult world and you're just going, I've got to figure things out as I climb along. But, you know, like a car, you need to do an MOT. You got to test yourself out to make sure everything's working.
Yes.
And I guess your job here is to sort of help in that area, but also hopefully they can spread the awareness of what they're doing in themselves to other people. Do you think
Well, and also, you know, you talk about the car and the MOT. I think actually we're looking at the map. You know, where are they driving? And who decided that they had to do this certain job and had to get married by this age and had to live here and like that?
Yeah.
So often, you know, as we grow up, we realise this isn't really, you know, I thought this was going to make me happy, and now I've got it, and I'm still not happy, because we're not really following our own dharma, we're not connected to ourselves uniquely, and saying, what brings me joy? What are my special gifts to the world? How do I bring that to the world? So a lot of my work with leaders is actually to do that as well, with them.
And I think that's, it poses a bigger question. You know, not say meaning of life, but purpose is a big question.
Yeah.
And when you're going based on a sort of time scale of a to-do list, it becomes, okay, once I achieve this, what's next?
Yes.
There was, I don't know if it was, I don't know if you're into boxing or whatsoever, but there's a guy called Tyson Fury.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to beat one of the undefeated world champions.
Yes.
And after he did that, he kind of said he spiraled into depression.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to sort of achieving goals, you look around and say, what's next?
Yes.
You're not necessarily creating the life, you're just achieving stuff.
That's right, that's
and,
right.
You know, I think we have to be very careful of what we're setting ourselves for. Mm. You know, are we setting ourselves to just do things for other people, ourselves? Mm-hmm. And what's the end goal for it? Are you creating something better, or are you just there to just not show up, but to sort of
yes.
put an importance towards those things that you've achieved?
Yes.
And I think, you know, if we have more conversations like that, it will kind of provide a healthy dialogue as
absolutely.
To what we're here for.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the people that you work with, are they, would you say they're fulfilled, or are you saying they're still trying to figure things out as they go?
Yeah, I think we are fulfilled by different things at different stages in our lives. So I use a model that's 7 levels of consciousness.
Okay.
And this model maps out that actually the first 3 levels of consciousness, meaning what do we focus on? What are we actually trying to achieve here?
Mm.
Are coming from Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So the
right.
first level is I need to survive. Once we're surviving, then we can go on to I need to belong.
Mm.
So once we go into the workplace, number one, survival, really means I need to get some money. You know,
yeah.
I want to leave my parents' home and I want to be independent.
Right.
And we need to earn some money to do that normally. So that's okay. You know, we look at younger people, that might be what's fulfilling for them right now, that they've got the next job and it's paying them lots of money,
yeah.
allowing them to tick that level one. Once we have that, we then ask, you know, well, who are my friends? Maybe I want to get married, have a family. That's level two.
Mm.
I feel that I've got level two ticked, which is belonging.
Mm.
Then we go to level three, which is status.
Mm.
Level three is about, do I feel good enough?
Mm.
So that's when people start climbing the corporate ladder.
Right.
Getting a bigger house, the flash car, the watch.
Right.
All of that is really because they're still trying to tick for themselves the feeling, I've made it, I'm good enough. Once we've got that, then we start to go, but what would I like to do in my life now?
Mm.
So very few people actually in their lifetime transition into level four, which is looking at who am I uniquely, what are my gifts to the world, what do I want to give the world?
Yeah.
So most of my clients that I'm working with are in that transitionary phase, and we're looking at, have you got level one, two, and three ticked so that you're freed up to put your love and energy and attention into creating the life that you want, really.
Okay, that's an interesting model. I know about Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes, yeah.
And you know, it being a pyramid, you
yes.
climb one step and then you
yeah.
do the next. Do you feel like it's almost upside down for a younger generation who kind of say, you know what, I kind of have a meaning in this world and I
yes.
want to explore that now? So
yes.
you almost throw the pyramid upside down
yes.
and you find your purpose first and then everything else just kind of follows secondary.
Yeah, I think for younger generation, they've seen their parents maybe go through this or other people that are older than them and they go, well, that didn't look that good. You know, why would I want that for myself? And so there's this real dilemma with, do I go into the traditional world and play that game? Or do I go out on my own and do my own thing? And I think there's this real quandary between, you know, what do I do? I don't want to conform and end up on the treadmill like them other people, which is very wise, I think. But at the same time, you know, it's difficult to, I think it takes a huge amount of courage, of conviction, and maybe also some other people around you to support you to just follow your own purpose from scratch.
Mm.
If you were lucky enough to grow up knowing that, you know, this is what my gift is to the world, this is what I want to do, there's very few people like that. I do know a couple of people who, one, for example, her brother was mentally disabled, but he loved music, and when she played music to him, he was happier and joyful, and she was very musical.
Mm.
And she, as a teenager, set up a charity already to help people with, you know, using music to help people with mental disabilities.
That's special.
No, and that's special, but that's because she grew up in that family.
Mm.
You know, so often we take our own challenges and how we overcame those challenges. That is the seed of our own purpose.
Mm.
So for me, I work with leaders because I started off as a commercial lawyer And I ended up at a very young age on the board of a power station, and looked around me, and these leaders were not really very highly functioning. The old CEO left, the new CEO came in, he was a real bully, and I got bullied by that leader myself, and I knew how that felt. So through suffering, through our own experience of challenge, that's normally where the seed of, you know, this is wrong, this is what I want to change, where it comes from. So if people have that in them as a child and growing into teenage years, then it's probably easier for them to be clear. But most people don't. Most people don't, you know. We faff around with a bit of this and a bit of that to begin with. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I think that's okay.
Yeah, you know, with that being said, I think there's so many takeaways of what you just mentioned, and I, you know, kind of want to dive a bit deeper. So for one, I think when we look at our problems, we kind of say, okay, they're my problems. I only identify with it.
Yes.
And I kind of, you know, as I've gotten a bit older, realize some of the problems we face are our struggles to sort of help us with perspectives of what to do next.
Yeah.
And it shapes who you are. And sometimes when you're trying to develop a new solution or you're trying to help someone, it comes from that sort of core story.
That's right.
When you're trying to do good based on no real experience, you have the good intentions.
Yes.
But because, I'm not saying it's a lack of authenticity, but it's just,
no,
there's a bit of something that you're not going to follow through when it really hits the fan. So,
well, maybe. Or maybe people get so much joy from just operating in an environment where they have meaning and purpose. And I think that goes back to, you know, millennials now, the research is that they would more likely take a cut in salary for a job that has meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
So you can see their values are shifting already. You know, the values are not the same in the older generation. They would go all out for the money. But, you know, we're wising up, thank goodness. So I think some people might just be drawn through curiosity, through interest. It doesn't mean that they have to have suffered first. It might be that, you know, they just enjoy drama and they just like working with kids. And then somehow they fall into the youth group. And, you know, I think also when a lot of my clients come to me for looking for their purpose, you know, what's my path? And often we find that if we just look at what they love to do, they're already on their path. They've already been doing that. And they don't need to see exactly the end destination. They just need to keep following their heart, following their curiosity, and just trusting that the world will bring them, you know, the next thing that they're meant to be doing.
Absolutely. And it's all about that process. I think if you can enjoy the process, no matter what comes out of it, then you're doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
The right way. And I think if you're looking at the end goal saying, okay, where's it going to take me next?
Yes.
I mean, it's part of the process anyway. This is your entire life.
Yes.
But it's kind of a short road and you're moving on to the next thing. But it's good to sort of say there's a balance between the two. Maybe, you know, if you love what you're doing, then that's kind of what you're supposed to be doing. And if you can learn from something and take that to something new, then again, that's a purpose thing as well. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are also working 9-to-5 jobs who are still trying to figure out the purpose. So we've given them two avenues. But when it comes to sort of, you know, the daily grind and trying to sort of manage stress levels and, you know, work anxiety, what kind of advice do you have for those people? Can they be working on the purpose, or should they, you know, be a bit more level-headed about what they're doing right now and try to think about another plan?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer, because I think we cause our own stress by the stories that we tell ourselves. So if I'm working in a job that I say every day, this is really boring, I hate the people, what am I doing here, I'm better than this, I should be doing something purposeful, then I'm really not going to enjoy my day. But that's up to me, because I've been telling myself that story. If I actually go to the core of, you know, what do I really think everyone's purpose is here in this lifetime? I actually think it is just to bring the best of yourself. You don't actually have to do anything to achieve anything. I think that's where we get hooked up. So actually, if you every day decide to just be, your best version of yourself, whatever that is for you, and you go wherever you're going, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You're on purpose.
Mm.
Now something, your life will unfold. Otherwise, you get people that I call having a spiritual bypass, you know, where they're doing doing good for people. But actually, when you meet them, they're really not happy with who they are. They're not that easy to be with. They haven't really sorted out their own life. You know, they might live in a place that shows that they don't really take much care of themselves, their clothes, their health. They've just missed all that out.
Right.
They're spending all their time doing good for others. And that's not really, I think, a good model.
Yeah.
I think actually a better model is just to be grateful for what you already have. Trust that you're already on your path. That when I look back, my years as a commercial lawyer, I could have said, how the hell would I know when I was a commercial lawyer that I'd end up running retreats for well-being? Actually, at that time, there was no such job as a coach. When I said to people early days, you know, 15 years ago when I was a coach,
right,
that people thought I was a coach driver. So there's going to be jobs that people end up doing in the future that we don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
So it's about relaxing. It's okay. You don't need to know what your purpose is. I think you just need to make the most of each day and trust that something is going to come your way. Keep curious, keep open, and just follow your heart.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned all those things, and it really starts with you. And you know, love yourself as much as you love the people you care about. It's probably something that I've also
That's the old age old thing, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
Which we're all trying to do.
Exactly. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's so cliche, but it's the truth. Because if you can understand yourself and take care of yourself, you can do it for other people much better than
absolutely. Yeah, that's vital. And that the people with the spiritual bypass, you can see that they're not doing that. They're not really taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
They're actually trying to feel better about themselves by all the do good that they're doing in the world.
Right.
But I would say they've missed the point. The point of their life actually is probably just to have a great life.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to do anything for anyone. If you showed up and every single place you went and every single person you met, you were, you know, content in yourself and happy and not playing games,
yeah,
you'd actually spread a lot of good.
Because I think there's always this thing about, you know, I'm not saying when people die, but just in general, people want to be remembered.
Yes.
And it's like, I want to be remembered by, you know, whether I leave this room or whether I leave this country or whether I leave this earth. Like,
yeah,
we want to be sort of, you know, people telling the same story about how awesome we are.
Yes.
Do you think that's an egotistical place to be? Or
yes.
Is it?
Yeah. Just ego.
Yeah.
No one, you know, in the long run, no one, this is my opinion.
Yeah, go for it.
At a soul level, I don't think, you know, I don't think it matters if anyone remembers you at all. I don't think the soul seeks that. It's just the ego that says, look at what I built.
Yeah.
Look at who I am. It's fame. It's money. Actually, I would say people that have, on their deathbed, look back and say, a few people will remember me. But the most important thing is that I made the most of my life. I had a wonderful life and I loved and I was curious and I saw what I wanted to see and experienced what I wanted to experience and I embraced it all. You know, there's no perfect life. You know, we're all going to have illness. We've all got suffering. We didn't bring it on ourselves. That's just life. So I think that's probably my definition of a very successful life.
Yeah.
And if you look at, say, somebody like Trump, we could say he's going to be remembered. He's, you know, built an empire. He's got fame. He's got status. But that, to me, is all in level 3 consciousness. That's because we still haven't ticked that level enough to say I'm good enough. Like you know, at some point, you've got to stop trying to prove to the world how amazing you are.
Yeah.
And just get on with your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, I think you mentioned about the ego, but I think something that also comes into play is, like you said, to be accepted by people. And I think sometimes that, you know, grows into its own thing as well, you know, in terms of finding your purpose. What happens if you're in a community of people mm-hmm. that kind of go against that or try and put stress upon something else to stop you from working the best you can? How do you manage or block those people from being the best version of yourself?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's often the case, isn't it?
Right.
Well, as we start to grow, people that love the old version of us, for whatever reason, might not want to let go of that version. So I think it's very natural that as you start to develop spiritually, actually some of your old friends will just naturally drop off. And there's no need to have a big drama about that. I think it's just normal.
Mm.
And then you'll meet new people.
Mm.
But I don't think anyone can actually block you. That's, again, the story you're telling yourself. So if you're saying, this person's blocking me, I can't do it because of them, you're very much in victim mode.
Mm.
Actually, you know, unless you are incarcerated, you know, unless you're physically stopped, even then, you could, in that moment, say, I, in my mind, and my ego, had that purpose in mind for my life, and now I'm in prison.
Mm.
Actually, I suspect that's part of your path. You know, so it's acceptance of everything that is.
Because, I guess, you know, we look at our world and go, okay, I can't sleep properly because this workload pressures. I can't do what I want to do because of this and that. But then, even though you say it is because of you, do you think society as a whole kind of puts you in these places, like money being the key essence of why we need to survive? How do we kind of detach ourselves from that and become the version that we want to be, worrying about mortgages and paying bills and children?
There is a reality, obviously, and we've got a human body that needs to be taken care of. So level one, survival, you know, that needs to be ticked first. If you're still trying to tick that level and all your attention and energy is just paying your mortgage every month, you're not going to have much time or energy or attention to find the job that you love. And that's just reality. And that might be okay at the very beginning of your career, but you say for the first 10, 15 years even, that might just be your path in order to get to a place where you can say, you know, either I've paid enough of my mortgage off, or from a level three status perspective, I don't need this big flash house. You know, I don't need to live in this postcode. So I can make adjustments. So quite a lot of my clients, I actually work with them on a financial plan for themselves. And I'm not a financial planner, so I can't give advice, but I can help them look at what's the actual reality, especially when people say, well, I can't do this because I've got a mortgage to pay, Actually, it's about looking at what's your reality now and what bits are you willing to change in order to free yourself up to do what you love and having that discussion. So it's possible, but I think it's not that possible if you're really on the breadline. If you're really still in survival mode, then it's, you know, it's about finding a way to survive and get beyond survival. That's your first, that is your purpose in that moment. Then the purpose shifts to something else, something else, something else.
So it's, like you said, it's all about the levels here. And, you know, even though you might want to be at level three or four, you kind of have to...
Yeah, that's right.
In order to play the game, you have to survive, right? So you can't...
That's right. You can't, you know, you'd have to take care of your own body health-wise.
Yeah.
You have to take care of, you know, and that means having a certain amount of money, unless somebody else is funding that. But you can be creative. You know, there's many ways to... You don't have to live right in the centre of London, in your own flat, on your own. You know, we're quite spoiled in this country.
Oh yeah, I think it's true. I mean, we're in the capital here, and I guess, you know, everyone kind of wants to be a bit more status orientated in terms of where they live and kind of
well, then that's
accessible.
That's level three, you see.
Yeah.
So,
but that's the thing. You're living in London, and you're already automatically assumed to be living at level three.
Right.
Yeah, well, it feels that way sometimes because it's like, okay, here I'm trying to make something myself. I'm in a place where opportunity exists everywhere.
Yes.
And I've got to make a name for myself. And I think that environment alone can create this competitiveness that exists
yeah.
in our corporate worlds, but also, you know, in the, yeah. the places we interact with as well. So,
well, and the stress of that. So what you've just said, so when I coach people, I listen to what they tell me because that's their internal dialogue. Mm. So your internal dialogue, for example, might be, well, because I live in London and there's opportunities all over the place, I have to take advantage of it, I have to make something of myself.
Mm.
But that's just the story you're telling yourself.
Mm.
If you were to drop that story and say, you know, I live in a city, like millions of others, and I'm already on my path.
Mm.
I don't really need to do anything but just enjoy my day.
Mm.
It's all coming.
Yeah.
And it would be very less stressful.
I think it's that perspective again.
Yeah.
And I think you said it beautifully, because if you're just here observing, taking things in, enjoying the moment, you'll live much more, you know, in the moment.
Yeah.
Living for the next thing and then the next thing and the next thing. And I think...
Yeah, and the next thing's coming anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the world's still turning.
Exactly, yeah.
And we're not falling off it.
Yeah, so long as you're not going to kick the bucket, you're still going to get what you're going to get.
Well, and if you are. I can't change
yeah.
that either.
Mm.
So what's the point in worrying about that?
True.
But I think, you know, the key is, what are you telling yourself? Every day, are you telling yourself, I have to make something of myself? I'm already 32 and I'm still working in this crap job.
Mm.
Well, you know, that's not going to create a happy life.
Mm.
And it's not to say that you stay where you are doing something mundane,
mm.
but whilst you're where you are, you might as well have a good attitude. You might as well make the most of your day and smile at everyone and be good at your job. You're
yeah.
more likely to get opportunities
mm.
by doing that anyway.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with what everything you said, I think it kind of helps to sort of almost take a step back and refocus. And so this is where you have the retreats. And do you want to just tell people about how that works? For, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically, we set up these retreats for people to come on a Friday after work
mm.
and leave on a Sunday lunchtime. So
yeah.
it is only committing one weekend. You don't need to take any time off work. People with children can come.
Mm.
My retreats that I used to run for leaders, you know, were in Spain and they cost thousands of pounds.
Yeah.
This is £450 all in for your accommodation, your food, everything.
Nice.
So it's just space. It's just time out from your everyday life.
Mm.
There's about 20 people. And we have sort of a range of just sort of experiential things that we do.
Mm.
But the main thing is helping us all calm down,
mm-hmm.
stopping all the crazy thoughts, connecting into the body,
mm.
because that's where your real wisdom is. So
mm.
when people are trying to frantically find the next thing, what's my path, what's my purpose, what should I do next, they're coming from here.
Mm.
And it's just crazy making. You know, this is not the place to make these decisions.
Mm.
So on that weekend, we get people to just slow down, ground. We do some grounding. We do some body connection work. We do guided meditation,
mm.
yoga. And we get people to connect into the body, because that's where, you know, everything that you've ever experienced in life is recorded in the unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind is the body.
Mm.
So everything is already here. We
mm.
just don't know it here. And that's where your sort of seed of what you are uniquely, what your gift to the world is uniquely, and really connecting to what brings me excitement, what brings me joy,
mm.
and just being okay with what that is.
Mm.
So that's really what the weekend's about.
Yeah.
Also, some people might come with, you know, the stress that we've lived under and the stress that we've caused ourselves with these thoughts for years
mm.
may mean that we've got some pain, some suffering, some illness,
mm.
or, you know, lots of people have eczema, IBS, these sorts of stress-related conditions.
Mm.
So it's also really good for that.
Right.
And we do a bit of a test with people on their body, you know, how balanced they are
mm.
before they... when they walk in.
Yeah. You know, so that way you're a bit more centered.
Yeah, at the end. We try and help people balance their right and left sides
mm.
so that they're as creative as they can be.
Mm.
There's a whole range of stuff that we do. But it's just, we just actually also have a laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, and, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and sometimes we just take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we forget, we're just walking around from here upwards, you know, like the body's just to carry the brain.
Yeah.
And we forget that this is where it's all happening.
You know, that analogy of, you know, everything is here. Yeah. Your mind, let me say here for those who are just listening, your head.
Your brain and stuff.
But you're saying your whole consciousness and everything is kind of, you know, your whole presence of your body. Your body's aging and it's growing with you.
Yeah, your body's the one that's experiencing everything.
Yeah.
Not the conscious mind. Mm. Conscious mind is trying to make sense of stuff.
Mm.
But it's not the one that felt it.
That's true.
It's not, it wasn't there when you were in the womb. It wasn't there when you got born. It wasn't there maybe if you were, you know, in a blissful moment or in a traumatic moment. It goes.
Mm.
So really the body is the one that stored everything.
Mm.
And I believe that we only can help other people to connect to their own wisdom and know what's right for them. You know, I have no idea what someone else's path is, their purpose, what they love.
Mm.
But I do know how to help them find out.
Mm. I think, you know, it's one of those things I was going to mention, a bit lovey-dovey, but you know, if you fall in love with someone or whatever, you're not thinking, people do, you know, mind, okay,
does this person, rational,
does this person check my boxes, yes, no, whatever. But sometimes you just, boom.
And that's
like,
right.
You're like, what?
Yeah. And then when you do go into the rational mind, you're, hang on.
Yeah.
They're not the right height. They're not what I expected.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that. And, you know, for those who probably think, you know, the conscious mind and the unconscious mind are too complicated to understand, I think when you really experience all your blissful moments, like you mentioned, you won't act in rational and go, okay, this is cool.
No.
Right. Yeah. You're like, wow, you're really happy. That emotion comes from a deeper place, like you said. And if people live more emotionally like that, do you think it'll be a happier place, or do you think it'll be something that's a bit, you know, unsustainable? How do you think? Do you think people should balance with the mind and
I think it's balance.
Yeah.
And I think we're incredible machines.
Mm.
And it's not just this human body with a brain either.
Mm.
You know, we can tap into energetic fields outside of ourselves. We can, how do we come up with ideas? Where does that idea come from?
Mm.
You know, there's wisdom outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
So we also work at all of these levels.
Mm.
So we are trying to use all of the parts of the system. And in the West, we very, very much heavily rely on just the conscious mind.
Mm.
And so when we brought in yoga and somatic therapies, these sorts of things are beginning to tap into the body.
Mm.
But it's very, very early days in the West. We're just really out of balance. And in the business world, we're very much out of balance with masculine and feminine energy.
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I'm not talking males or females. Mm. I'm talking every human has masculine and feminine energy, yin yang.
Mm.
In China,
mm.
we'd call it. So we're balancing that as well. Mm. I think everything in nature, and that's everything, is just looking for balance.
Absolutely.
And all suffering ultimately is because something's out of balance. So, I think with our weekends, we are seeing that most people are coming very out of balance with massive amount of thinking,
mm.
questions and can't answer, not a real connection to the body,
mm.
very fast paced, we need to slow down, very much criticising themselves, I'm not good enough yet, I need to do more, pushing themselves, driving themselves like they're a machine,
mm.
that's out of balance with, you know what, actually, I'm okay. I'm doing all right now.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm only 27 and I've got this and I've done that.
Yeah.
You know, being accepting of ourselves, appreciating the things that we have achieved and what we have already got in our lives, and gratitude.
Yeah.
So there's this, many things are getting rebalanced on this weekend. And there's a whole another level of connecting into inspiration,
mm-hmm.
you know, your intuitive wisdom.
Mind explaining what that is?
Yeah, I mean, you've got the wisdom of the body, which is the body that tells you, no, this, I loved this, how do you know? I just, my body felt excited. My body felt joy when I did this. So follow that. Mm. That's a clue.
Yeah.
And I really hated that. And that was boring or that was stressful. Or, so, you know, your body is like a missile guidance system for your career, for you, for everything in life, really.
Yeah.
If you're really suffering, it just tells you you need to self-correct. You need to do something different to get closer to, you know, what you're meant to be doing in your life. Mm. And intuitive wisdom is being able to tap into a wider field. So, for example, an intuition might be that you're thinking of walking home down this road. For some reason, you just think, no, I'm not going to go down there. I'm just going to go this other way.
Mm.
And you have no idea, you can't explain rationally why. Intuition comes with often things like decisions. This is where I want to head.
Mm.
Or this doesn't feel right for me. I don't know why. And we're tapping into a wider wisdom there, I think.
Mm.
You know, there's people that are really able to meditate and things just come. They just follow those thoughts.
And is it about being still, trying to understand yourself a bit more and, you know, taking guidance on who you are, what you feel, and just letting yourself lead rather than your mind?
Exactly. Making those decisions. Yeah, I mean, the mind is so crazy, so fast. We're having constant thoughts.
Yeah.
So we need to not focus so much on that part of ourselves. It will still go on, but we need to find a way to slow down, breathe, connect into the body first, normally, before we can learn this intuitive wisdom, before we can learn to hear it or see it. People see pictures, sometimes people hear messages, sometimes people just have a feeling to go one way or another.
Mm.
And we all have it.
Yeah,
but it's the low level hum, and the major thing that's influencing is the conscious mind, and that's out of balance.
Mm.
You know, and pictures flashing at adverts and the noise.
It's very hyperactive.
It's very in the mind.
Yeah,
totally out of balance.
Mm. So after your retreats, what sort of, you know, best practice do you advise your clients to sort of do?
Well, I know I don't really advise. Mm. I just ask them to remember what worked best for them.
Yeah.
What did they feel? You know, what do they feel they'd like to do? And everyone has an experience, you see, on the weekend that's really significant, possibly life-changing.
Mm.
And that's the thing that you want to say, well, how do you keep hold of that?
Mm.
You know, don't go back to your old habits.
Yeah.
And people just know intuitively what's right for them. Mm. You know, I have no idea what was the best thing.
Yeah.
But there's some, you know, basic things. If you want to slow down, you don't have to do sort of 10 hours of meditation a day. You can just, you know, listen to some calming music.
Yeah.
Or just walk slowly for 10 minutes.
Mm.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Walk really slowly and look around you and just see what you notice.
Mm.
Yeah, it's profound.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when walking in the city in London, when I'm going somewhere like work, I ignore everything.
Yeah.
But then when I'm going with a friend who's not, you know, very, you know, familiar with London,
yeah,
and I'm like seeing it as a tourist, I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah,
it's like I walk past this every single time.
Yeah.
So you have fresh new eyes, and it's just like this exists every single day, and it's just new perspective of just taking the time, observing, seeing what's, you know, really out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if we had more time to do that, that'd be something that we can gain back from ourselves.
Yeah.
We're giving our time away too many times.
We're numbing ourselves, aren't we, in our culture? You know, we watch TV, we drink alcohol, we shop.
Mm.
We do lots of things that are repetitive, that allow us not to have to think, not to have to connect to the body, and not to have to take responsibility, really, for... You know, if I had a major decision to make, I might just say, instead of watching that hour of TV, I'm just going to walk very, very slowly. I'm going to keep my eyes open, keep my ears open, and keep connected to my body, and just trust that something's going to come to me that's going to help me make that decision.
Yeah.
And it will.
Yeah.
You know, that's a practice.
Yeah.
Anyone can do it. It's free. Don't need any skills.
If you like free stuff, I think that's the best thing you can do.
I love free stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of, you know, wrapping up this conversation, because it's a very deep conversation and, you know, I enjoyed it, what we talked about.
Thank you.
Is there any key advice you would give our listeners in terms of, obviously you mentioned about slowing down, but is there anything that you would want to say in terms of a statement?
Yeah, I think we are so driven to be amazing, to be different, to be funny, to be successful. And my advice would be to give yourself a break. Just be okay with who you are. And ironically, the more you can be okay with who you are and know who you are, the more likely you are to attract other people, opportunities, and, you know, be able to craft the life that you don't really need to craft the life. You don't need to do anything. You just need to show up each day being okay with where you're at. That would be my advice.
That's a very good way to sort of wrap everything we said. I think, you know, if I want to just add something, like, this has been very beneficial to myself and I'm sure my listeners, but, you know, we're all kind of driven people, I guess, the people who listen to this podcast and finding out new ideas and different perspectives.
Yeah.
But I think for the first time, this is a session where I can say, you know, we can take something and say, you know what, it's Christmas time right now. Maybe let's just take a bit of a break.
Enjoy life,
enjoy it with your family, enjoy it with yourselves as well, and, you know, observe what's around you and, you know, come with a fresh perspective in the new year. So it's you know, a great way to wrap the whole year.
Absolutely agree. Yeah. Well, enjoy Christmas. Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't drink too much.
Yeah. Use your time wisely.
Don't numb yourself.
Otherwise, we've got the retreat ready for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much for listening, guys.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
Thanks, Stephen.
Hey podcast listeners, thanks for listening and thanks for my special guest and thanks for clicking that play button. But I need you to do four things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast and I'm producing more content than ever. So I want you guys to be the first to know and I want others to know as well. So do those four things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.